Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Edmond Demirjian of Middle Village Dental.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Armenian Apostolic Church in Douglaston, New York, with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our program in our day with a prayer of the Armenian Apostolic Church. Havadov Hostovanim, Yevirgir Bakanem Kez, Ampajanelus, Miasnagan Sur Pierortutun, Yemiasvazutun, Ararich Luso, Yev Haladzich Havari. Հալաձայի օկվոյի մեզ խավար մեղաց Եվանգիտության և լուսավոր Եազմիրս իմի ժամուս այսմիկ աղոթել քեզի հաջույս և ընդունելիք ենս խնդրվածս իմ և ողոր միակ արարածոց և ինձ պազամեղիս։ In faith I confess and I bow down to you, O light indivisible, consubstantial Holy Spirit and one Godhead, creator of light and dispeller of darkness, left from my soul the darkness of sin and ignorance, and illuminate my mind at this hour, so that I may pray to you according to your pleasure, and receive from you the answer to my prayers. Have mercy upon your creatures, and upon me, great sinner that I am. Right, we read from Saint Nerses, the gracious Surp Nerses Shnorhali, and these prayers are part of the service, the Vesper service during Lent. I am hoping that you're attending your Vesper services, either here or at your local churches, because that is an important part of the Lenten experience in our church. And we've started a beautiful tradition for the past number of years that we have not only Vesper service, but after the Vesper services, we have lectures, we have meditations, and then we have dinner. And I think by the end of the Lent season, if you attend all six services during Lent, all six Vesper services during Lent, and stay for the dinner, I promise that you will gain 6 more pounds. Because everyone who is coming here and preparing the food, they are doing an extraordinary job just making sure that they feed us. But also, I have to tell you that the speeches and the presentations that we are having here at St. Sarkis Church have been phenomenal. The first week, we had Anusha Van Sarpazan, who spoke eloquently about the year of service that has been declared by His Holiness Aram I. Last week, we had Mrs. Maro Matosyan, who spoke about the abuse that women go through in Armenia. And this is a topic that none of us would want to hear about, but it's a reality that is out there. And she made such a beautiful job presenting all the struggles that our sisters in Armenia go through. And she promised that she's going to be my guest on the podcast in the near future so that you also, who didn't have the chance to come to the presentation last week, will have the opportunity to hear the things that she has witnessed there and the work that she is doing there as a professional. And this Friday, it is my turn. I will be speaking about Badarak. Now, you might be saying, why has Der Har chosen to speak about the Sunday worship service, the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church? And some of you might be thinking, well, maybe he doesn't have anything to talk about, and Badarak should be easy for him to talk. No, it's not. It's never easy for me to speak about Badarak. And do you know why? Because it is such a powerful experience. And the more you dig, there's a lot for us to discover. There are so many details in every part of that service that it is impossible for anyone to mentally be able to grasp, especially in one session. And here's my thing. Sometimes when we come to our church services, you know, sometimes we get used to the things that are happening and we stop paying attention to the details. So I'd like to create opportunities for us to kind of revisit our Sunday experience every Sunday in church. And this presentation is linked to the last presentation of the Lenten season because I will be speaking about Badarak. I will be offering some explanations. And then the last Friday, we have a group of people who will talk about their subjective experience. What does it feel for them to be part of Badarak? And I'm really looking forward to be present at that talk the last Friday evening because we will be hearing from those who come and participate and be part of Badarak almost every Sunday. So keep it on your calendars. Try to attend those speeches because I promise, forget about what I said about gaining weight spiritually, we will become better people. This past Sunday, I felt very good because we had our monthly Bible study here at St. Sarkis Church with the members or the former members of the young adult group. And here's the thing, this group was formed, I would say, 10 years ago when we were really young adults. Now we are parents and we have children and we still come to church and we still like to do Bible study. And we bring our children and there's babysitting service for them. It was very well attended, and I personally felt very good because the discussion went very well. Let me tell you a little bit about our Bible study, and I'm sure that when you hear the word Bible study, there is part of you that starts to freak out, but please do not. Just listen to me. When we come here to do Bible study, what we do is read part of the Bible. Now, initially, we were reading, let's say, if we were doing Matthew, we would read the entire book of Matthew. And then I heard some feedback that this sounds too academic. Could you please change it? So I said, sure, we can change it. We can do anything as long as the participants are interested in learning about the Word of God. So we changed it. And now we're doing topical Bible studies. What does it mean? That we are discussing right now the parables of Jesus, the stories that Jesus told. And there was a reason for Jesus to tell stories, because when you hear a story, chances are that you will remember that story, and hopefully you will remember the message that story is trying to convey to you. So we are studying the parables of Jesus, and we read the words of Jesus, and we try to have a discussion where everyone will express their opinions, if they have one, and then we'll have a discussion. We would almost all the time incorporate part of the church fathers' teachings about the specific parts of the Bible, and then the most important part, try to make it applicable to our today's life. Because that is the power of the Bible, the power of the words of Jesus, that it can touch you, and it can touch you in your current life today in the 21st century in this country. So people sometimes say, what's in the Bible for me to study? And that is a valid question. You know, if you have read the Bible in your life, what more is there for you to study? And my answer would be, the Bible is not like any book. Because if you have read, let's say, a book, if you had read the book Tuesdays with Maury 10 years ago, chances are that you remember the content of that book. If you can, you read it again, it's good for you. If you don't read it, at least you know what the book is all about. But the Bible is different. I have been reading the Bible since forever, I can say that. And every time that I read a specific passage from the Bible, I can see that the words of God are speaking to me in a different way. And that's the beauty of the Scripture, because we know and we believe that the Scriptures are holy. They are inspired. It is the Word of God that touches us. Therefore, I invite you, my listeners, to try to make an effort and join us. Our next Bible study will be on March 13th, and you can sit down, explore what is happening, and if you decide to leave halfway through, I personally will not be offended. You can go home. You can take some of the cookies that we have. No problem. Just give it a try. But I bet that you will like it. I want to talk to you briefly about a new program that we started here at St. Sarkis Church only 3 weeks ago. And I'm sure that most of you have seen it in the bulletin. It is called When Tears Are Not Enough. It is the bereavement group that we are running here on Monday nights. And I totally understand that this program, this group, is geared towards people who have specific needs, who have lost somebody in their lives. And I want to report that this group has been going really well, that we are getting together every Monday night, and it is such a calm experience for everyone. So I just wanted to mention that if you know someone struggling with their loss, send them over. Let them come to St. Sarkis Church. We have a welcoming group here, a warm, inviting atmosphere where some healing can actually take place in your life. I received a very interesting email in my inbox today. This email came from the Armenian Catholicos of Cilicia. And obviously, they have a youth department there. And the head of the youth department is asking me to prepare a short video. He says 3 to 5 minutes. And speak about the use of technology or how the Armenian church uses technology in the Eastern United States. I found it very interesting that they are asking me to speak about the use of technology in the Armenian church. I thought I could speak about God, but obviously they want me to speak about technology. And the topic of their seminar, they're having a seminar, it's very interesting. It's the Armenian church and technology. Kudos to them for organizing something like this for the youth of the Armenian church. And this means that the church has something to say about our approach and how we use or abuse technology. So I'm thinking that we can showcase some of the things that we do here in our churches, from the bulletins that almost every church sends today, to the sermons that we record and broadcast, and of course, the podcast. I think this is something that I can maybe brag about, if my producer lets me. So our project for the next few days will be preparing a video and sending it over to Antilias and hoping that the participants of that seminar will like it. The Armenian Relief Society of the Eastern United States is organizing Youth Connect 2016, the Youth Connect program at NYU. And today I have on the phone with me the director of the program, Dr. Khachik Muradyan. He is the director of ARS Youth Connect program. Dr. Muradyan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
I'm a professor of history and sociology at Rutgers University, and I also direct the Armenian Genocide Program there. And I'm also the program director of the Youth Connect program.
What's the Youth Connect program?
This is a program that was initiated by the Armenian Relief Society with the purpose being bringing together Armenian youth, Armenian college students from across the United States, particularly the East Coast, but not exclusively the East Coast, and to bring the youth together to discuss issues of interest and concern to Armenians, Armenian youth, Armenian culture, and topics that really look into, generally go into a broader discussion on the challenges facing the Armenian youth in the 21st century.
How long ago did you start the program?
The program had been around for more than five years, but I have been running the program over the past 3 years.
So did it always take place in New York, or was it somewhere else?
Generally, the program is alternate between New York and Boston in recent years. So the most recent four programs have been either in Boston or New York. And when we have held it in New York, which is over the past couple of years, it's been at NYU.
Very good. Now, let me ask you, why would the ARS want to sponsor a program like this?
I think there is a need. There is, over the past few years, we have, it's become more palpable, the fact that particularly when we organize community events in the Armenian community on the East Coast, and this is not limited to one particular town or city, you realize that regardless of who the speaker is, regardless often of the topic, a large number, the overwhelming majority of the audience, are people in their, if they're going to be optimistic, in their 40s and 50s, and there is a noticeable absence of the youth from such events. Again, there are exceptions, but this is the overall. This seems to be the overall trend. Now, the ARS Eastern Region initiated this program in order to create an environment for the youth where they can, first of all, freely, come together and freely discuss topics of interest and concern to them, and do that knowing that it's only their peers who are going to be listening, who are going to be taking part in the discussion, and do this in an environment where experts in their respective fields, some of whom have been, representatives of the youth only a few years ago, and now they're successful professionals in their own respective careers, can exchange, can talk to them about their perspectives, their knowledge, and together try to, have a broader discussion about many of these issues that we are tackling.
So you're saying that the program has been on for a few years now, and it sounds like it's a successful program, and that's why you guys are continuing to do this on a yearly basis. Can you share with our listeners some of the highlights, some of the success stories that you've had in the past?
Yes, the program has been successful. There's a few ways, of course, of measuring success. One would be, and this is not my favorite way of measuring success, but it is one indicator, and that's the number of participants. Over the past 3 years, each year the number of participants has almost doubled. This year we're expecting more than 110, 120 participants. Almost 100 students have already registered. Registration is required for Youth Connect. So that is one indication. Students who take part in the program tend to return and tend to encourage and urge their peers to participate as well. The other aspect that I think is is testament to the success of the program is that the discussions that we hold, the topics that we discuss, and the speakers that we invite, including, as I mentioned earlier, some prominent young professionals and even prominent writers, thinkers, activists from all over the world, in fact, but particularly from North America. These discussions engender more collaboration and work among the participants after the program is over. There are many examples like this of several participants of Youth Connect together, you know, being engaged in other programs, other events. So there is this continuity which we really hope to build upon. Another probably important indicator of success is that with each year we do have a good number of participants who took part in the previous Youth Connect who come back as I mentioned earlier, to join the program and be part of the discussion. I do believe that initiatives that emphasize the role and focus on the role of the youth and bring the youth, put the youth at the center of the discussion and make them participants in discussions about, community leadership, discussions about the challenges facing the Armenian nation worldwide, discussions about the new ways of activism, culture. What is culture? How to preserve culture? Is preserving culture a topic that is the core issue? For example, last year we discussed about how Armenian culture should not be preserved. It is something that should be celebrated and nourished and enriched, and not something like we have to preserve and keep it the way it is in a manner that maintain it in that sense. So these are all indications, this readiness and willingness to discuss these topics, take these topics and outside the program and try to bring them into fruition in other ways, that I believe are indicators of the success of the program.
I think you have very good indicators to measure success. Let's talk about the Youth Connect program of this year. Is there any overarching topic that you have this year?
Yes, thank you for the question. We generally have an overarching theme for our program. Last year it was Beyond the Centennial. This year we're focusing on what we call cultural resistance and informed activism. So this is the discussion this year is going to focus on the crossroads of culture, resistance, and activism.
Would you like to say a few words about the speakers of the event?
This year's program we have six speakers. There's going to be one panel discussion featuring Serdar Özbenyan, who's going to be discussing environmental issues in Armenia, Serge Apramyan, who's going to be talking about activism in Armenia, and Nanor Barsumyan, who's also going to be tackling the topic of activism and social issues in Armenia. So this is the panel mm-hmm. discussion that we have. We also have a discussion about resistance, activism, and culture, and the novelist by Chris Bojalian. And we have a similar theme, which is culture and resistance and the journalist by Amberin Zaman. Chris Bojalian, as you know, is a best-selling novelist, author, whose last two books focus on issues of, issues that can be important, that are important for many activists, including the Armenian genocide, including, and most recently, sexual trafficking, etc. And Amberin Zaman is a prominent journalist. She writes often on issues that have to do with Turkey and the Kurds and human rights violations and human rights issues in Turkey. So she's going to be bringing her perspective as a journalist who's been dedicated to this, to these causes and issues for many years now.
It's a very ambitious agenda that you have prepared. And you said that you have over 100 students or youngsters who are registered. Tell us how people can register.
For registration, we have a Facebook page, ARS Youth Connect, where the information on registration is available. The information is also available on the website of the ARS Eastern USA. So that would be another way for students to reach out and register. Ultimately, I'd like to also note here that so for the registration deadline is still there's we have one more week until that deadline, so there's still opportunity for students to register, and we are hoping that this year as well, we're going to be able to be part of a broader discussion on the issues that we're trying to highlight with the participation of the youth. I want to add something here. I talked a little bit about the role of the speakers, the main speakers of the program, but I would argue that probably the most important speakers of this program are the youth. In terms of, you know, apart from these three discussions that are going to happen with the youth, with the keynote speakers and the panels, we're going to have a closing panel discussion where we're going to have the youth speak about what they think, what they believe, and how this approach is going to happen. Generally, when we look at the Youth Connect program, that full day that starts at 9 and ends in the evening, the main speakers, I would say, are the youth, and it's their voice that is heard. It is an effort to make sure that they communicate what they believe is important and why what they believe is the way forward. So in that sense, when we listen to this, communication, because again, even with things like the evaluation of the speakers and the discussions that the students do, based on which we formulate the program for the next year, for the following year, and so on. So this is, I would stress that this is an important aspect. The fact that, you know, although we do have invited speakers, but the key speakers, I would argue, are the students themselves.
Very good point you're making here that, you know, the participants will not be sitting there and just listening, but you're actually are challenging them to express their opinions and be part of the discussion. And I think that's a great thing. Dr. Mouradian, before we conclude this conversation, I would like to ask you, what's your message to our listeners? And I want you to bear in your mind that some of our listeners might be the parents of your targeted audience. So what would you like to tell them today?
My suggestion will go, first, this is an invitation, of course, to participate in the ARS Youth Program. The parents who have college students, the individuals who are listening, who know people who are college students and would be interested in a program like this, I urge them, I invite them to register, to contact the ARS Army Relief Society Eastern Region Office, or go online, www.arseastus.org. But beyond that, I'd like to emphasize something that goes beyond the Youth Connect program. And that's the importance of reaching out to the youth and putting the youth at the center of our attention. A lot of times we talk about the youth as being indifferent. But I would like to, on your program today, I'd like to argue that it's not that the youth are indifferent. The youth are different. And it's important for us to listen to them, because they ultimately are the people who are going to be the torchbearers of our future. They're going to be the torchbearers of our culture. They're going to be the torchbearers of our causes. And ultimately, what they believe, what they think, is going to define the coming decades of our Armenian reality. So that would be my message and my hope beyond the Youth Connect program.
Excellent. I would like to thank you very much, and I wish you best of luck and success with your work, in your work with our torchbearers of the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And
thanks
God bless
a lot
you
for the opportunity.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do on every episode here in the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is a very soothing part that we read in this letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And when we come to study the letters of Paul, we see that Paul writes to various communities. Sometimes he has instructions to give to that community. Sometimes he is giving answers to certain questions that the community member had to Paul. And sometimes we just see Paul praying for that community. This is one of those instances when Paul is saying a prayer for that community. And if we examine the format, we will see that this is the format of a prayer, because it starts with glorifying the name of God, the Father. And it's very interesting the way that he puts it. He says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. As if Paul is saying that everything in heaven and on earth is the result of God. If it wasn't for God, nothing in heaven and on earth would have existed. So after glorifying the name of God, Paul presents the request. And we know that in every prayer, almost in every prayer, there is a request. If you don't believe me, check out the prayers of the Armenian Church. There's this format of glorifying God, submitting your request, and then closing it with another glorification to God. So the request in this prayer is that, I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being through his Spirit. So the first request is for strength. Paul knows that as Christians, we need to have the strength to continue our lives. He knows that our life is full of temptations. And the only way for us to overcome temptations is having strength that is given to us by God, that divine strength. And this reading today resonates with us, because for those who are fasting, for those who are taking the Lenten seriously, they know that this could be times of temptations. And we can see the devil is around us trying to distract us from this journey. Paul is saying this prayer to you also, that you may have and experience the strength that only God can give us through the Holy Spirit. The second request is even more appealing to everyone, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. He is asking for the presence of God, for the presence of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we all wish to have. We all wish to have God in our lives, in our hearts, in our midst. But Paul doesn't stop there, because when he continues, he says that the manifestation of that presence should be done, or is kind of measured, if you will, by the presence of love. So I bet that Paul is saying, if you want to know if you have God in your heart, you need to look at your actions towards other people. Do you show love for other people? And this could be the real test. You know, the best way for us to know if we are living a good, solid Christian life, the best way to examine that is to look at our relationships. How is my relationship? How am I doing with people around me, with my friends, with my cohorts, with my co-workers, with my family members? Am I reflecting the message of love in my relationships? Or am I just being selfish and arrogant and trying to make everyone follow my ideas? Showing love in our lives as Christians is the best way to test our faith. Are we faithful to God? And then Paul continues, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He is requiring us to have and show love, but he's saying that the source of that love is Jesus Christ, and we need to go to him to get more love. And if we have love, our life will become a better, a more positive experience here in this world. And Paul ends his prayer with glorifying God again when he says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we all can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." If you think or if you thought that loving someone is a difficult thing, Paul is telling you that it could be done when you ask the power to be given to you from God, because God can do things that you could not even imagine that you could do in your lives. So take strength, my friends. I hope that you will find inspiration in the words that we just read, and I hope that you will mirror the message of love that Jesus brought to this world in your relationships. The hymn today is called Ikhen Haitzemk. This is a hymn that we sing during Lent Vesper services in the Armenian Church. I hope you will enjoy listening to Ikhen Haitzemk. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, I would like to thank our sponsors, my producer, Mr. Greg Doster, and all our listeners. If you like the podcast, please share it with your friends and your family members. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be always in your hearts. Amen. Oh.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Edmund Demirjian of Middle Village Dental. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.